You're listening to the Oh Those Toes podcast, the only podcast that does podcaster on podcaster on podcaster three ways. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. With you, as always, I am Top Toes.
And I am your co-host, Annie, and you are listening to the Oh Those Toes podcast. Thank you.
And this is the first time we've had the opportunity to keep a promise that we said on the air, although we didn't say it on our own show. But back in March, we had the absolute pleasure of being guests on Stripped by Sia. I believe that episode aired March 21. And we said, absolutely, we want to have you on our show when we can. And here we are doing this, our first return endeavor. Welcome to the show, live from the Pacific Northwest. And you can specify more if you want. Sia.
Hello, it's so nice to be on the other side of the mic this time.
Wait until we grill you for 45 minutes and then you can tell us.
Yeah. No, you know what? She's gonna fully understand because she's the podcaster. She knows what it's like.
Right.
I have to tell you that we've been on several podcasts, and Sia's was one of the ones that I had to consistently remind myself that this isn't my show. I can't ask her a bunch of questions.
And now we can.
Yeah, you can.
But Amy, you're so interesting. You are just so interesting. And so thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Like, this is so exciting. Again, like, I don't have any opportunities to like speak on this side and be on this side and like be grilled and roasted. So I'm looking forward to it.
So I'm going to give just the rough outline of who you are, and then you can fill in the blanks on everything I skip. But Sia is a fellow podcaster, a stripper, sex worker, running a sex worker positive podcast called Stripped by Sia.
Yes.
An amazingly positive person who is great for our community in the larger sense and tied into our community in the smaller sense of foot fetish. And we'll get to that a little later.
Yeah, that's a little bit about me. Yeah, you nailed it on the head there for sure. So thank you for that. I guess I can add on to that. But yes, I am the host of the podcast Stripped by Sia. And yes, Sia is my name. It's my last name. So, but people just call me that. And I've been doing that podcast for the past 2 years with an aim to destigmatize the sex industry on all different facets of the industry, basically. So basically, if you're a cam girl, a stripper, you're into kink, you're into fetishes, you're a client, I try to tackle it from all different sides so we can get a really nice holistic approach to what sex work is and the legitimacy of it, because it is work. So that's a little bit about my podcast. I'm also, as Top Toes mentioned, a stripper. I'm also a digital content creator. So I do have an OnlyFans where I make custom videos and play games and live stream and dance and all this stuff. And then I was also a former sugar baby a long time ago. And other than that, I make YouTube videos and eat noodles and cook a lot of yummy things. And that's just a little bit about me.
Well, I love the fact that the beginning of your introduction sounds just like us. You are a podcaster trying to destigmatize your area and the whole area of kink, fetish, and sex work. Mm-hmm. You're the Canadian us in Pleaser Heels.
Yes, 100%. Literally. That's correct.
Well, you know, but Sia does a whole lot more than we do. I mean, like, she's got her
chronologically clothes. She's in her second year of the podcast as well, just like us. Mm-hmm. But no, she's definitely a broader market where we're hyper focused. Yes. We branch outward towards other types of sex work, where she's the broad focused sex work, and she brought us on to branch or to narrow down on one particular fetish. And I'm dominating this, but you know, Annie, you owe me one or two. Forgive me for fanboying. It's
No, yeah, there is absolutely nothing to forgive because I'm over here fangirling out too. I mean, you know, in a nutshell, and I hate, like, we're all over here talking for Sia, I swear. But in a nutshell, like, that is the favorite, that is my favorite thing about Sia, other than the fact that she's, you know, so talented, is that she's just so positive about, like, all types of stuff. Like, she, you know, she ends her introduction with, "I eat noodles and stuff." And
I do.
And I tell you, like, you're cooking. I mean, are you I'm going to completely bypass all the hot fetishy stuff that everybody wants to talk about and jump right into your noodles. I mean, are you trained as a chef or?
No, I'm completely self-taught, but I did have a cupcake and cake business like 11, 12 years ago, like a long time ago, which was like another world, another chapter. I was like super young, didn't have any.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not even that old. You're not old enough to have a former business 11, 12 years ago.
I am. Yeah. I just, believe it or not.
She's got these rose pistachio, I think.
Cupcakes
yes. on her other page, on her foodie page, that are just amazing. I mean, I think that I could have a podcast episode with you on your cooking alone, because yeah. I'm a fatty.
I was fatty. Totally never invited food. To follow the foodie page. What happened here?
Please do. Please subscribe.
We're gonna put the foodie page in the show notes for this episode, because we put your other stuff in the show notes for when we're on your show. So, you know, this will be the one where the show links for all the vanilla Sia stuff, or Steph Sia, yes. Or yes.
Or maybe
I did ask you the question before we started, and the confusion of your name, just because it gets rendered every possible way all the time.
I know.
I think I've never called you Steph. I think I just call you Sia.
No, and I'm so used to everyone calling me Sia. Like, honestly, even back when I was, like, in high school, everyone just always called me by my last name, even though I was only Steph.
Well, do you, like, do you fall into the, do you fall into the Asian traditional of family name first, given name second? Because that would make sense with Sia Steph.
It does make sense. I don't follow that, not in my family, but basically I think it kind of started because when Gmail first came out, someone already took Steph.Sia.
Oh, and Gmail loves to suggest last name first as your name. And you're like, I'm lazy, or I'm high, or I'm drunk. And yes, okay, accept.
And that's what happened. And I just stuck. And then I was like, when Instagram came out, I feel like Steph Sia was taken already as well. So I was like, Sia Steph. And then everyone just thinks my name is Sia. But at least, like, people now know how to pronounce it properly because of the artist, like the singer named Sia. So,
which is see, and I, because of the wigs, I thought maybe you were her, because we've never seen Sia's face.
This is also true. This is also
true. Does that mean that...
I love it.
Does that mean you have that horrible actor from the stuffed in your closet somewhere? The one from the Transformers movie?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf. Thank you. Yeah. Shia LaBeouf.
I don't know.
I love that song, and that video creeps me the frick out.
I am with you on that one, 100%.
Dirty Shia LaBeouf with a little girl in a cage. Who the director of that video needs to be shot.
You know what? We're gonna move past that. We're gonna move.
We are going to because I actually have a question, and I never have
pre-prepared. You never have questions
already. Questions I told already. You,
I'm totally fanboying this episode. I have questions prepared. So when we last spoke, we were definitely in a in the lockdown phase of the pandemic. I don't want to say we're in the pandemic because we damn well still are. Yes, we're in the hard lockdown phase. So obviously, you know, none of the in-person anything, sex work or fetishy was happening. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. have the strip clubs reopened? Have you returned to that part of your world?
Yes, I have. So I actually was just booked a few weeks ago, I think a few weeks ago, the second week of the strip clubs opening, and They're not all open yet, but some of them definitely are. The majority of them are, which is really exciting. So I felt like a baby giraffe on stage again and was all nervous and just anxious, but it was so good to be back on stage, and the clubs are pretty busy. So I'm really, really happy about that. So I also feel like on the client and patron perspective, people are just like waiting for clubs to open again, because, well, one, it's a source of entertainment, and two, who doesn't like hot naked girls? So,
right. So now in addition to you can't touch the girls in the champagne room, you can't breathe directly on the girls in the champagne room.
No,
right, no breathing on the girls.
The lap dances are back and masks are required for that. So yeah, so it's a little bit different, but at least we're slowly getting back to that. I know some clubs kind of operate in a different way where lap dances are not formally back yet, but it just depends on the club that you work in. So
the masks are back, patron and stripper, or do you have some fancy masks that match your pasties? You know, how does this work?
Honestly, I just get those like disposable ones, which is really bad for the environment, but also because it's a lot easier to breathe. And honestly, when I'm like doing like 3 dances in a row, it gets really hot because you're also,
yeah,
like, you're dancing, also, you're talking, like it's just moving. And it's a sweat.
No,
you know what? I was watching a few of your videos today, and some of them you're wearing a mask and some of them you're not. And mm-hmm. every time I see the ones where you're wearing the mask and you're doing these very expert level moves and very like acrobatic, I mean, oh God, I can't. I know that you're sexy and the whole thing is supposed to be very sexy, but I'm so impressed with your talent and the strength. I mean, oh my gosh, I can't even. but I see you wearing the mask and I would be like, see, I'm too hot.
It is so hot, like melty. And like, imagine, and I teach at a studio as well. So imagine teaching for an hour in a mask and then you have like 3 classes in a row. It's like,
yeah, it's not, I can just imagine, you know, at least the strip clubs I've been to, I would think after breathing in strip club guy breath air for a shift, I'd want to throw that mask away too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like,
we'll change it within a shift.
Yeah. So that brings us right to something I wanted to ask you if I had the opportunity to ask questions the last time we were around. Mm-hmm. Being a guy with a foot fetish, but being a guy, especially, you know, my late teen and 20s years, and then going forward into the bachelor party era,
yes,
I went to strip clubs. Mm-hmm. Later in my adult life, by choice, I went to strip clubs when something interesting was happening, like midget strippers. But, you know, you go because so-and-so is having a bachelor party. As a foot fetishist, the strip club is not, you know, it's not the is-all be-all. But mm-hmm. I remember, you know, one kind of, you know, sitting a little, slinking a little low at the stage, so my view was a little different, you know, mm-hmm. or getting a lap dance and having the girl who would step up on the chair and you're like, okay, you can't touch the stripper, but, you know, what if my arms brush the side of her legs? I was younger, and, you know, consent was less of a thing. But I want to know, since you're aware of the fetish, can you pick out the foot guys at the strip club? And if you can, do you change it up a little bit?
That's a really great question. You know, like, it's funny. I can't picture, like, I can't pick them out, but they do exist in every strip club. So I'll tell you a story. This has happened to me at least twice in the 2 different strip clubs, but there's always at least one patron who will ask to buy strippers socks, like used socks.
Really?
Yes. He'll ask around, be like, oh, can you sell them to me, blah blah blah, for this price, or blah blah blah. Or if you've come off stage, he'll ask the bouncer, ask somebody else, and verbalize that, and then you're welcome to do that if you want. This has also happened to me in another club as well. So they exist. They might not be vocal about it, but like, at least this happens here in British Columbia, and it's not a unique thing because apparently it's happened to me like a couple times already in two different scenarios. So
see, I was thinking that you would get the sneak toucher. You know what I mean? Like the one who...
I almost told the story. Well, I told the story of almost being the sneak toucher because it's like, you know, when the lap dance turns into the step up on because they want to, you know, pretend to grind on your face, you always get like the feet right by your hips. And
so have you had somebody touch your feet or like lick your toes as you're like dancing?
I haven't had that particular incident, but I have had a lot of men who will try to touch various places on my body that is obviously I'm not consenting to that. And I mean, we do have full contact clubs in Vancouver, but we also, like, majority, we do. Yeah, I think one of them is full contact, but the rest of them, at least to my experience, have not been full contact. Like, we can touch them, but they cannot touch us. So,
I want to reiterate two things. One that you said right there, you know, yes, in most places, don't assume you can touch the strippers. And two, if you want to interact, and just repeating what you said, talk to the bouncer. This is for our listeners. You know, talk to the bouncer first. They'll get you the talk to the performer.
Yeah, you can talk to the bouncer. You can talk to the DJ. I mean, they might be busy. Or talk to one of the VIP girls that are walking around. There's always going to be girls walking around. Talk to someone, or like if there's a dancer or someone, a performer that you enjoy, they're usually going to be available after their show. So I would just go directly to the source personally. I always like it to come up to me directly, but if you're too shy, then you can always ask around. So
yeah, just whatever you do, don't just grab her as she's walking away. Don't grab human beings at all. It's
at all. Yeah. Yeah.
We want to make sure that we're talking about being the show of consent.
Yeah, exactly. Strippers, dancers, or otherwise, do not reach out and touch anybody's feet without their permission or any part of their body. But you know,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah. 100%. So I do. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place today. But so I don't know if you've worked out east, but in Montreal, apparently, they have not found a. They haven't gotten past their Catholicism on the gender roles. So I'm at a strip club in Montreal, and Montreal is known for strip clubs.
Yes.
St. Catherine Street is just wall-to-wall strip clubs for like four blocks. Yes. And I'm with Mrs. Top Toes, and we're hanging out. We're having fun. We're at a strip club, obviously, you know, and we try to engage a girl for a dance, and they legally cannot go into the private room with a female, so she had to give a table dance. And it just, it's trippy. Oh. So, yeah.
You know, that's really different. That's really weird.
Well, the French Canadians are very Catholic, and the Catholics are very prudish still, unfortunately.
That's so interesting. Like here, like we love couples. We love couples here in Vancouver. Like I know for certain establishments, and like, I don't think this is applicable for where I am in Vancouver, but I have heard of clubs, actually in the States, that don't allow women to come in to their establishment.
That occurs in what we refer to as our Bible Belt. Yeah.
Wait, they don't allow women?
They don't allow.
Oh, no.
Oh, because we're supposed to be at home raising the children.
Yeah.
Something like that, in the kitchen.
Like, barefoot and doing things.
Kansas. Indiana, the Bible Belt.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in Texas. You know, we talked about Texas a little bit on your podcast.
Yes.
And there are no full nudity strip clubs here.
No.
They have to wear, and it used to be that they could wear pasties. So they could wear like a G-string, a thong, and pasties. But now they don't allow that anymore. Now it's, like, basically, you're getting it just bikini. Which is...
There was, like, new legislation that was passed a month or two ago as well in Texas about, like, anyone under, I think...
21.
21, yeah. They're 21. Not allowed. They were all fired. Which is, like, crazy talk to me. Like, I was like, what? They can do that?
It's so insane.
Where I am, I think in New York City... anything goes. is New York City, for crying out loud. Times Square used to be Strip Club Central.
Yeah.
Go a little bit east, you can have topless. You can have full nude, but you can you have to stop at topless if you're going to serve drinks.
Oh.
Because tits and alcohol apparently makes the Yankees crazy.
Okay.
What? Who writes these laws?
Oh my gosh.
When once you cross over into out of New York City and into New England, they have some great what they call blue laws, these leftover laws from the old puritanical governments. And yeah. So you have this.
Wow.
And often what you have is a strip club that has side-by-side establishments owned by the same person you can freely pass through. And in one, you can get your drink and see tits. And in the other, you can see full nude without your drink.
Wow. Okay.
So bizarre and archaic and like odd. But okay. Weird flex, but okay. It's so weird.
Weird,
no.
Weird flex, but okay. I love that. And we're going to take a quick break here and we'll be back in just a moment.
And we are back. I'm going to take it back a little bit because I have, you know, a lot of things that we talked about on your podcast that I wanted to make sure that we address before, you know, we run out of time. So, so the first thing was, when we first came on, onto your podcast, the episode, we were talking about obviously feet. And one of the very first things that you said was that feet are gross.
I think my feet are gross, but yes, this is my own personal opinion of feet. I personally don't enjoy feet, but I know and understand that people do, like my partner. So that's okay.
And then that was immediately followed by, you know, that your partner is a foot fetishist. And I was like, wow, like I thought, you know.
Well, we have the opportunity right now. Our audience has been watching as Sia steps in and out of her heels and with the bright neon green petty, and she's got all the shoe play chops. I don't know if that's if you're concentrating on that or if that's just kind of who you are, if you're one of those unconscious dangle shoe play girls. But I can see why a guy with a foot fetish is going to, you're going to catch their attention without a doubt.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then you casually mentioned that you actually catered to foot fetishists and you've done in-person sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was huge because it says so much about you as a person, you know, because if you didn't necessarily like feet and it's not your thing, but you know, here you are being the best kind of foot fetishist, you know, ever.
I think I'm just so open-minded. So
you really are. Yeah. So let's talk about your sessions a little bit with the foot fetishist. Was that something that you did often or?
Not super often. No, not super often unless it was requested. So how it all started, it all started on Instagram. To be honest.
The root of all evil.
Of course.
The root of all people. The platform that hates all sex workers and people that have fetishes and stuff. So yes.
And that we're all there.
And we're all, unfortunately, we're all there. It's so sad. We have nowhere else to go. But it started on Instagram. Oh gosh. When did it start now? Maybe, what year is it? 2021? I think it started off in 2016. So about 5 years ago. When I randomly got a message in my Instagram account asking if I can sell my socks to someone, and they wanted to buy my socks. Maybe they saw like a picture of me hiking or something. I'm not sure how, I don't know how this person found my account, but they randomly found it. And I thought, oh, this is a scam, you know, like how a lot of us fetishists, like, we'll be dealing with a lot of time wasters, right? So I'm like, oh, this is a scam. PayPal me X amount of dollars, and then I'll take you seriously, and then I'll ship it out to you. And then they actually did. So I was surprised at that. I think that was honestly a fluke. Like, this doesn't happen very often. There's a lot of scams and stuff out there nowadays, and people that are wanting things for free. But that's how it started for me. And then I just kept selling my socks and like feet pics online to a few people. And another person who I'd met online on Facebook this time, and I think we were in a kink group. And I mean, one of the rules is you're not really supposed to message, like, private message people, but
the first rule of Facebook kink group is you don't talk about Facebook kink group. I mean, that's,
you know, I'm no longer in this group, but apparently, yeah, you're not supposed to message people, but this person did. And then they were interested in a ball busting session, and which turned into sessions. And they turned into like a client. They used to come to see me at the club when they were in town. So that was cool. And then it came to like selling socks and more slippers. And what else did I sell? And used pleasers because I'm a dancer. So
yeah,
it kind of varied all over the board. And then with the in-person sessions, we had spoken to some of the real terminology that both of you, Annie and Top Toes, you guys were able to educate me on. So I guess the term is trampling, when you walk on someone or you're placing feet or applying pressure. Usually, I don't know. You have a better, much better definition and more well versed on this than me.
But, well, we're on our podcast, so our audience knows what it is, so we can skip the clinical definitions of things.
Okay.
Although I will point out, you know, it's so funny that a lot of people I know who cater to trampling, and the trampling guys are like, oh, you jump on me, but they seem to book girls who are like 5'1" and like 85 pounds. And I know based on your feet not touching the ground and your stool there that you're, if you're 5'3", you're an inch.
Yeah, I am 5'3", actually. That was perfect.
No. You know stuff. What size shoe are you?
I am a 7.5. 7.5 for both shoes, yes. Sometimes a 7, depending on the brand. But yeah, I would say average-ish size, I think. I don't know what average is, but maybe average for my height, who knows?
Yeah, no, I think that your feet are pretty, you know, they match your height. Unlike mine, right? Because I don't know. I'm just an anomaly. I'm a size 10.
What? Wait, yeah. How tall are you?
I like 5'3.5, because you know that half is very important.
Half is huge.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's yeah. Really rare.
But it's so
Annie is the most stable foot model on the planet.
You know what though? But it matches my body because, you know, oh, see, I don't know if you can see. I don't know, there's a size 10 in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it matches my body though, because I'm just, you know, despite being short, I'm not petite. You know, I don't have little bones, and I'm a fatty, and I'm thick, and I'm totally okay with that. I'm not entirely okay with these size 10 shoes.
No.
If no one's knocking you down.
No. No, I'm so sturdy. I am grounded. I am, you know.
it's funny. So in the past couple of weeks, there's been this crazy discussion because there was a Chaucer poem that was rediscovered. Now, Chaucer goes back, for those people who aren't English majors, Chaucer is a poet that goes back to the point that we are still speaking Old English. Like, right. Chaucer poems need to be translated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there is a line in one of his poems that is, the wench be thick, T-H-I-K-K.
Okay.
The term thick dates back to the like 12th century. And great scholars have gone through and said, absolutely, that is what he meant by that line. He was referring to this girl as thick, the way we would use it in the 21st century. The next thing is four or five lines down in the poem, he says something of verily I speak only truth. And basically that couplet of that Chaucer poem says, I like big butts and I cannot lie. No. So this was Chaucer in the year 1200 or something or other.
Shut up. No. You're just making stuff up now.
Trust me. The two of you and all of our listeners, look this up. It somehow hit social media in the past 2 weeks that one, the
term years
old, and two, Chaucer liked big butts and he could not lie.
You're totally yanking our thing.
This episode airs, I will be able to give you evidence from like Harvard scholars.
I do need to see this. Please and thank you.
I'm going to follow up with you on that because I don't believe you.
Me neither.
I like big butts and I cannot lie, really.
Well, no, he said he likes that he likes thick wenches and he cannot lie. But basically, yes, the poem says I like big butts and I cannot lie.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh. You learn something new every day.
All right. Well, let's
thick wenches go all the way back to the days of Chaucer.
Let's leave the 12th century behind and let's step a little bit into
modern times.
Modern times, please.
I have a very modern follow-up. So this is something near and dear to Sia's heart and my heart. And I'm just following up on the fact that I finally found some really good Fossa Sesta.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really solid and well well written change.org petition to repeal Fossa Sesta.
Really?
And one to oppose a bill that was at least 3 weeks ago when I put it out, was out there to actually again make things worse. You know, you had Nancy Pelosi trying to make things better, and you've got people putting in legislation to make things worse. So I know we've talked about it. You've talked about it. You've talked to your guests about it. And this is a point that, you know, we'll share these links when the episode airs. We'll share these links amongst ourselves in the next day or so. Mm-hmm. And we and all our people who follow and believe in what we believe in, there are some solid petitions that need to be signed because this is important stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Absolutely. It affects all of us.
It really does. And
I think I said on your show, and I'll say it again, even if you're not a sex worker, if you're listening right now, if you view any of our pages, you gain something from sex workers. Mm-hmm. And support us.
Right.
I'm putting myself in the sex worker category as a as an adult content photographer producer. I'm a sex worker too.
Yeah. You're a content creator.
I'm a porn producer.
That's a much better title. My apologies.
No. I wouldn't think of anything I do as porn production, but you have to. And that's the other thing that I think that we're trying. And I think our appearance on your show definitely put that into our vocabulary. And we say it more and we're very appreciative. Good. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what we do, we have to put ourselves in the category of sex worker. We have to destigmatize the term sex worker.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. We just need to be able to talk about this so freely and like normalize this normal conversations. It's not a bad thing. And society views it as a bad thing. Yes, but like
we need to be able to change that perspective. It's such a bad thing, but then they still engage. You know what I mean? They just do it behind closed doors.
Oh,
they
do it secretly. I would love.
With a lot of shame, you know, and it shouldn't have all that shame.
No.
I would love for you two to be able to poll your clients and see how many of them are supposed like Christian conservatives.
Right.
The ones who, you know, whose party, whose political beliefs are stigmatizing, ostracizing, and harming our sisters and some of our brothers. And they're probably, I would say they're probably 51% of the buyers.
I wouldn't be surprised, though.
Sia, have you, when was the last time that you did anything? Well, I mean, it's obviously, it's been a really long time since we've, since anybody's really gone out and done things and sessions and all of that. But yep. For any, if anyone's interested, should everything go back to normal? Is our session something that you normally do? Like, for foot fetishists?
Yeah. I mean, I am now more comfortable in the digital space, I would say. So in person, it just really depends on what it is and what's being asked. But I really do like making custom videos. So I'm really comfortable in that space. I don't have to get into physical contact with anyone. But it is available depending on what it is. And I'd have to probably screen you as well to make sure you're not a crazy person or a harmful, dangerous person. So that I am returning to some in-person sessions, not related to feet fetish work, because those requests are a little bit lower than what I usually get. But I am doing some platonic meets, like I'm doing a beach companion meet next week with someone at a nude beach. Paid dates and stuff like that. I'm still open to that, but a lot of my work is just staying online. So I know a lot of like my peers that have already gone back to whatever in-person sessions that they were doing like before everything like shut down in the world. And that's completely up to your own discretion and your comfort level. So it's not really about do you think things should go back to normal? It's whatever you feel.
Can I back you up just a second? Because you said not so much feet because that's lower. You mean that just doesn't command, it doesn't command the price range that makes it worth your time? Is that what you're saying?
No, I meant lower demand.
Yeah.
Okay.
She meant like the amount of demand is lower than all of her other requests.
Exactly. Yeah. No. With the price, like I feel with any kind of fetish, the price can actually go pretty high, but I don't really base it on that. I just base it on one, am I myself going to enjoy this? And two, like, is the other person going to enjoy this as well? And how specific are we going to be?
Right. It's a valuing your own time thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where I'm at with certain more niche forms of sex work at this point.
Do you cater to other kinds of fetishes, like other than foot fetish? Are there any that you're like maybe more commonly that you cater to that people seek you out for?
Nothing is really coming to mind at the moment. I just feel like I've been on pause for so long, and I'm not specialized in any way either. I'm just a person on the internet that likes to do fun things like Just Dance on live stream and like make really pretty videos. But yeah, there's nothing specific right now. And I'm kind of like straying away from that and kind of focusing on either custom videos, my OnlyFans, or stripping. So cause that's like all that my current time allows for me at the moment.
I know you.
Sorry.
I know you had, when we were on your show, one of your fans asked about the idea of when it's time to take a break. And, you know, time demands are enormous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is your primary vocation or your secondary or your side hustle, and I saw something today that said, don't call it a side hustle. It's called the other job I need to survive. The demands on your time are important. Valuing your time is important. You gotta take care of you, because you're not gonna be your best you if you're burning the candle at both ends, as they say. But speaking briefly of time management, I have no clue how long we've been on the air, and we're gonna take a little break. Well, for us it's gonna be a little break. For you, you're just gonna have to wait till next week to hear the episode and the continuation of our amazing conversation with Sia.
Yeah, I mean, if you've stuck with us this long, you're gonna love part two. So, come join us next week as we wrap it up with Sia.
And as always, for those of you who are masturbating to our voices right now, well, I guess you're gonna have to hold it for a week.
That's right. You're not allowed.